We kick off hour number two here live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. See, I don't know. You like that?
Just let me do my creative.
Okay.
I almost cussed. My creative stuff. Just let me do it.
Bleep. Pete Thamel-Sore said, Hall of Fame coaches, plural, should be worried. I looked up the latest inductees.
I wish he had said how many.
Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Izzo. Do we think Tom Izzo?
He might not survive anyway.
Is it
but
cheater?
Yeah. Like right now, Michigan State's like, God, I hope they name him. We could really use a good start over.
The top headline on ESPN, at least when we started the show this morning, outside the lines, Michigan State basketball player under investigation for sexual assault.
At some point, if you're Michigan State, you have to think about like the next 20 years. And I think Izzo's probably on his way out. I think that if you're Michigan State, it's one of those, thank you for the winning, thank you for the championships, but I don't think you, if you're Michigan State, I don't think you want to allow Tom Izzo to take you all the way to the bottom with him. Even if he's not going there, like it's just, if I'm Michigan State, I'm thinking, how can we quietly move on from Izzo without, you know, any more of a mess?
Based off the season they've had so far, they just want to get to the end of the year, and after this season, I don't see him coming back.
Yeah, probably an announced resignation, you know,
or
I'm retiring,
just based off that kind of thing. Yeah, it was a good season. We made it to insert Elite Eight.
I'm too old for this, blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. That would not surprise me, though, to see him named.
2015, John Calipari. He's definitely cheating. 2013, Rick Pitino. Obviously, he's already kind of had his issues.
Yeah, he's done in the college game for a while, probably.
2007, that was Roy Williams' year.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they've had their fake classes already. 2005, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Already been found guilty of cheating and gotten their slap on the wrist.
Statute of limitations, though, we can't punish Boeheim. So we'll just, what was it, 1 year postseason ban? And a scholarship?
And the year they sucked off.
Yeah, the year they weren't going to make it.
Yeah,
something like
unreal.
That.
Unreal. Yeah. Unreal. To me, the Syracuse and North Carolina things are, those are probably the worst situations.
And like Donnie Tindall's in NCAA jail forever for similar things. Bruce Pearl lied about a barbecue. And he got a 3-year show cause. I mean, it's just like, I guess it's a little bit different. I mean, Bruce Pearl, he did lie to the NCAA because Mike Hamilton's an idiot and didn't say, hey, they've got the information. Just go ahead and tell them the truth. Or just deny, deny, deny. But what you can't do is lie and then say, yeah, I lied, sorry. That's when they hammered Bruce. Still doesn't seem quite fair. But, yeah, who else is on the list?
I think it's also interesting that in 2005, Jim Calhoun is on there. Obviously, Connecticut now in trouble under their current coach, Kevin Ollie. I mean, like, this is all the, you know, all the big ones. 2001, Mike Krzyzewski.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the big list, yeah, for current active. I may have missed one in there, but that's.
I mean, he said, what, half of the top 16 seeds would be. Gone?
Vacating their tournament appearance.
I can't decide if I think Tennessee is so safe that it's not even funny or if we're totally going to get hammered for cheating the most but getting nothing out of it. Like, I don't know what's more Tennessee. Like, the fact that we didn't cheat at all and we're terrible or that we cheated worse than anyone and got zero return on our cheating. Sure, I mean, surely Rick Barnes, I mean, he hasn't recruited well enough to be caught cheating. Is this where it's like all the Barnes bashers finally gonna get told off if everybody else gets implemented with big time buying of players and Rick Barnes is like, hey, come play for Tennessee. We don't cheat here,
but we will now, and we're still winning.
Still winning.
Well, here's the 16.
Also, what are these kids like? What are you supposed to do as a lottery pick if you go to play for like you're not supposed to take the money? Like that. Like that's the dilemma here. It's like you have to punish the schools, the agents, and the shoe companies. But if you're the NCAA, the only one of those you can punish is the schools. you can't really, I mean, you can punish the players and say, hey, don't play anymore. But, like, you're supposed to tell an 18-year-old kid, don't take this money. You're supposed to tell a family of an 18-year-old kid, don't take a free house if someone gives it to you. Like, if the market is determining their value is a house and a bag of cash, how can you say, don't take that money?
Even if it doesn't work out at the NCAA level with you playing in college, the professional organizations aren't going to get, you're not going to be in trouble with them at all.
No,
there's
they
never
don't
been
care.
A situation where somebody's
care.
Been disciplined by the NCAA and like the NFL
right.
or the NBA has ever done anything to that person whenever
no.
they're in the draft. It just doesn't happen.
No, they're just like, oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, well, come on, let's go.
Why would you care?
Yeah, you
I
can make
care.
Us money. All right, so you're on board. Let's go.
And, like, the NCAA has proven that if you do that and get caught, it's really not that big of a deal. It's not great, but what would you rather have? To be awesome at basketball for 10 years and then get punished for one if you're Syracuse? Or just to not be good for 11 years? I'd rather be good for 10 and punished for one if I'm Syracuse. Tyler Bowman tweets in that Boeheim missed, like, half that season.
No, yeah, he did.
That's not... I mean, that's a punishment. It's not really a punishment. It's like, hey, you're... What's that, like, paid leave? Like, hey... Take a break, some vacation time. I mean, I'm sure he wants to be out there. Maybe I don't know.
That was such a weird sentence.
That was like the Bruce Pearl suspension that year where he sat out four games, came back.
For UConn,
and then sat out the next four SEC games. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the NCAA that suspended him,
the
but
SEC.
The SEC in an attempt to make him like keep his job so that the NCAA would say, hey, yeah, you punished him enough. And then the NCAA is like, boom, show cause. No barbecues. Frankly, there was a lot more going on than barbecues, but
I feel like this whole thing is just—it's just like Office Space. It's just, you know, Bob and Bob. I got seven bosses. It's like Tennessee has an SEC boss, an SEC commissioner. Then they have like the NCAA, who's like over top of that. I mean, that's what you're. It's like you have your in-house boss. Like if you're Bruce Pearl, you have the AD who's
mm-hmm.
your boss.
Yes,
you have. A chancellor and a president that care maybe more about academics than sports, depending on who it is, but maybe not, depending on who it is.
Depends on where you are.
So you have those bosses. Then you have the SEC commissioner,
mm-hmm.
who's your boss and can punish you. Then you have the NCAA that
Don't forget about the compliance officers on campus.
Yeah, your own people can turn you in for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Notre Dame did in an attempt to... And so, like, trying to get all those people... On the same page of, hey, we're going to cheat our ass off, or, hey, we're going to be, like, perfect angels, or somewhere in between, is impossible. It's impossible to get everyone on the same.
I don't think it's impossible. I just think it takes a long time. I think that, in a way, it's like, there's a reason that older coaches get away with it.
But you can't get...
It's because they have systematically built their surroundings... You're Nick Saban, right? You get to Alabama. You can't just start cheating your rear end off at first. You got to prove you can coach a little bit. Then you get a couple players. Oh, then so-and-so in the athletic department is moving on to another position. And then all you do is you go and you say, I've got a guy I think needs to interview for this job. And then you start politicking, right? You start manipulating. Boom, now the compliance guy is a Nick Saban guy. Or you get to them first when they get to campus and say, listen, here's the deal. You know, we'll take care of you and we'll do this and blah, 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 if you'll just look the other way here. I mean, it is a system. It is a spider web of cheating at all of these places. It is not just, I'm the coach, I call a guy, he drops off a bunch of cash. That gets caught in a hurry. That's what Pete Bell did in Blue Chips. It was one guy. You have to be so much smarter than that to cheat, and that's what these guys are. They're smart. It's not bags of cash. It's prepaid visas. There's no paper trail. There's no name attached to it. Right? I mean, it's a lot smarter than just money and houses. Like it's deeper than that. It's way, way bigger. It's making sure that your compliance officer knows exactly what to turn in so it doesn't look like you've been funneling money from this account. I mean, it's knowing who to reach on, who to lean on, who if they found out would fire your ass. I mean, it's more, I think, than just, yeah, we're here and we're going to cheat now. I think it takes a long, long, long time to set it up. And to get all of your people that could potentially kind of catch you either looking somewhere else or on your team. But I think that's exactly what all of these schools do.
Well, and I think there's – if think about the most, I like to think about things and like, what's the most likely explanation? For me, the most likely explanation, every one of these coaches is a person. They have different personalities. They have different ways they run things. And I do think there are some coaches that try to insulate themselves and tell themselves, I'm clean. I do things the right way. I teach my kids the right way. I do things the right way. But they can't keep the shoe companies from making those deals for them. They can't keep boosters from, I mean, I think about Auburn football. There's that spider web you're talking about, Houston. It's been long said about Auburn that's all set up through boosters at Auburn, no matter who the coach is. You want to be the coach at Auburn and come in and run a clean program? Yeah, buddy, that's great. You run it clean. We're going to pay all these recruits and get you the guys you need. And so as I look at a situation, and you're talking about human beings and how they're all different, I'm sure they're all set up a little differently. And these people tell themselves whatever they have to do to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm making a difference for the players and the kids, or I'm clean.
Yeah.
But this,
I do 100% agree with you that at a lot of these places, the infrastructure is set up, and basically all the coaches do is have to not go looking for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I agree 100% with you that there is, you know, some kind of unspoken. But what happened, like, for example, at Ole Miss, though, is you had a coach who was like, hey, do we have people who can do that for us? And then how do we get that ball rolling even faster? Mm. And that's what got him in trouble. But no, I agree with you. At places like Auburn, at places like Georgia, like I get it. They're in great locations, so it helps. But the reality is that you don't get all of those kids routinely and consistently unless they have, especially Auburn, like, Auburn not exactly the new broom under Gus Malzahn that it once was. Auburn's fine, but it ain't the scenery at Auburn that's attracting kids to Auburn.
And I think it happens a little differently at different places, because that's just the way the world works. But there's some level of it somewhere. I mean, Roy Williams is like, my parents, they love Roy Williams. He doesn't even cuss. He says Jiminy Cricket when he gets mad. I mean,
he does have a good coaching like persona, though.
That's the thing.
I like Roy
like,
Williams.
That's,
I'm okay with Roy
that's
Williams.
A perception thing, you know, like it's all about perception.
But
it's
what I'm saying is, I don't know that Roy Williams knew what was going on at North Carolina.
Oh, I don't think he knew. I definitely don't think he knew about most of it. I don't.
I mean, we know what Patino did. Patino was like, I don't care, just don't tell me. If I don't know, I don't have to lie about it.
Yeah.
That was his mentality. I'm sure a lot of coaches take that, where it's like, did you know about this? No. But if you asked them, did you ask not to know about this, and they told you the truth, I bet a lot of them would be like, yeah, I don't want to know what happens. I don't want to know how my assistant coach got these guys in here.
Man, I think that's understood. I don't think anybody ever has to really say that.
I agree.
That's the whole coaching fraternity thing. Like, you don't have to say, hey,
that's
obviously
why Bruce Pearl got blackballed in the first place, because he rolled over on Illinois all those years ago, and he broke the code. The code is, if you get caught cheating, you go down, but you don't roll on somebody else. That's why Philip Fulmer is still hated in the state of Alabama, because he got rolled and turned state's evidence against Alabama in the Albert Means case. And everyone said, whoa, whoa, whoa. But he was cheating too. You can't do that. You can't roll over on somebody else, even though it was more than just Fulmer. Fulmer just took the public heat for it. I think Spurrier even admitted later that he absolutely tattled on Alabama when they were going through that. But that's like a big thing. And I remember, was it Dickie V, I think, oh, he's committed career suicide when he rolled over on Illinois. When he was hired here, I think. Like, they remember. So I agree. I think the coaches fraternity thing is like, hey, don't hate others because they're good at cheating. Either figure it out, and if you can't and you get caught, just go down. I just think that's the way it is. But that's what the NCAA has allowed. And so I'm wondering is this going to be proven? Because the NCAA, when they investigate, man, they investigate not to find stuff a lot of the
time.
They
have no subpoena power. They can't wiretap like the FBI
did.
They don't, frankly,
they don't want to catch North Carolina. They don't want to catch Duke. They don't want to catch Syracuse. They don't want to catch Alabama. They don't want to catch Auburn. They don't want to catch them, because when they catch them, they have to admit our entire system is broken. So what they do is they go after Bruce Pearl at Tennessee, and they say, ha, got him. See, this is how on top of it we are. Look at us. We come in here, and we catch the crooks. Ha-ha, look at us. The reality is they could do that everywhere. It's like the NCAA picks and chooses, right? Like, oh, Notre Dame, you came at us in good faith and told on yourself from 5 years ago? Well, if we let them off the hook, it looks like we're weak. But if we punish them, people will think, remember that time they got Notre Dame? Boom! 2 seasons worth of wins wiped away.
And yeah, Notre Dame doesn't care.
No, they don't care. Their overall record as a school takes a little bit of a hit. But the NCAA gets to say, look, we did something. But it's not like they, like 5 years ago, like if someone said, hey, Butch Jones' first 9-win season is wiped off the books, do you think I give a damn?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Not
absolutely not
one bit. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if it even goes the other way. Like Jimmy Dykes came and spoke to the Tip Off Club here in Knoxville years ago, and he talked about the whole like when Kentucky got busted, and the whole Eddie Sutton thing and all that. Like one of the pieces of evidence was that like a mailer like got ripped open and there was cash in the mailer to the player. And he's like, have you guys ever tried to open mail from, like, FedEx? Like, you can't even, like, it's hard to open without, like, without a knife or scissors.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I almost wonder if sometimes they're, like, I'm sure Kentucky was cheating their ass off. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that that's the evidence they use almost seems like that they had some motive or agenda to plant it or place it that way.
Yeah.
When it does, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Like, would you mail cash when you could just hand it to somebody, you know, or have it delivered? Like, it doesn't, I don't know. The NCAA, I guess what I'm saying is it even seems like the stuff they do find could be sketchy. Like, I don't know if sometimes they get a rogue agent that, like, do they get a little Elliot Ness in there sometimes? It's like, yeah, I'm the new NCAA enforcement officer. I'm going to catch all the bad boys. And they're like, easy there,
Johnny. But they're getting paid under the table, too. Just like I think Dave Hart got a big chunk of money from Nike to sign Tennessee into the worst contract ever, you don't think that schools and shoe companies can get to the NCAA people? Hey, you're an enforcement officer at the NCAA? Hi, Houston Crest, Nike International. Can I get a meeting with you? What's cheaper? To buy off one guy for $1 million?
Oh, they don't have to pay him that much.
No, I'm just saying, for example, like Nike... The contract Tennessee signed with Nike was not very good. So if you're Nike, what makes sense? And if you're Dave Hart, like, if you're Dave Hart, do you not take $1 million? Do you not take double your salary in one time to make a crappy deal with Nike that saves Nike $5 million over 5 years? So Nike's like, we can pay $1 million and save five. And if you're Dave Hart, you're saying, I can make twice my annual salary by signing this contract. It just, like, it's backwards. It's dirty.
Well, and the problem is, some of that stuff they can even do it legally. Like, there's nothing
right.
technically wrong with it. It's a quick pro quo. Like, I'll do this for you, you do this for me, and look how the numbers work out. Isn't this so much better for everyone?
Dude, it's dirty, and the wheel just keeps spinning.
I've got the top 16 seeds pulled up from the NCAA. I'm gonna go down that list when we come back on the other side.
Are we doing cheat or didn't?
Yes,
cheat
or
not?
We're playing cheat.
Cheat or no cheat.
We need a better name for the no, yeah. But whatever.
We'll come up with a name over
cheater
the break.
Or cleaner? Cleaner cheater? I'll work on it.
We'll do that on the flip side. Also, the big question for you as a fan, and think about this during this break, would you rather just have the machine move on because it's good enough, or would you rather have it get torn down if the product in 2 years from now is not going to be as good? We'll chew on that on the flip side as well. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Got so heavy you collapse.
This segment of the program is brought to you by NutriShop, 107 Moss Grove Boulevard here in Knoxville, right down from Academy Sports. Go see Kyle Spicer, the owner there. He's a VFL, played offensive line under head coach Philip Fulmer. And he's ready to help you meet all your health and fitness goals. With
customized care and planning.
I was just going to say NutriShop and try to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Two locations in the
shop. Fantastic.
Mid-state as well. Cool Springs, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. So go see them. They've got the swap and buyback guarantee.
I promise you'll never get better customer service than at NutriShop with Kyle.
He's on top of it every time.
It's like ridiculous how he's like, you know how you go some places and you get pestered, and so you're just kind of like, I'm fine, everything's fine. And then some places you get no attention whatsoever. Kyle has struck the perfect balance between, if you need anything, I would love to help you. If you have any questions, I'm going to give you the most thorough answer ever, but I'm also not going to be hawking over you the entire time you're in the shop, making you uncomfortable. It's amazing. No, normally, shopping's kind of weird for me. I'm an introvert. I'm a 9, so I'm kind of like, hey, just leave me alone. I'll do my own thing. But Kyle does it in a way that makes you feel comfortable. It's impressive.
107 Moss Grove Boulevard there, right on Kingston Pike, down from Academy Sports, just west of Cedar Bluff. You can go in and visit. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We got the top 16 seeds that the NCAA's selection committee released. What was that? The 11th. So about a week ago, right? Last Sunday after all the games last weekend. And
how do we want to do this? Do we want to do it like a scale? Like maybe cheating, definitely cheating, probably not cheating, definitely not cheating?
Yeah, like I think 1 to 5.
Definitely.
Like an evaluation for your professor in school. Like 3.
5 being you cheated your ass off on the test.
Yeah,
gotcha.
3 is a neutral. Like I'm not sure.
Yeah.
2 is I think they probably didn't cheat,
mm-hmm.
or maybe didn't cheat much. 1 is I definitely think they didn't cheat at all. 5 is definite cheater, and 4 is somewhat cheating.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
1 to 5.
Okay.
3's a dead, have no clue. Number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia.
Man,
2.
I was going to say, yeah, like 1 or 2. 1's a definite not cheating.
Yeah.
2.
2?
2. I would lean towards Virginia not cheating, just coaching them up, having a really weird style that just drives people crazy. I mean,
just watching their players, like they're not getting the really upper echelon recruits, but they're getting quality players that they're able to
fit their system. Yeah.
Pack line defense.
Yeah.
Bennett.
Just do something. Do something a little different that makes people uncomfortable.
All right. Number 2, Villanova. Jay Wright won a natty.
He does look like a schemer, doesn't he?
I'm going to give it a 3.
I don't know. I don't have enough evidence on Villanova and Jay Wright to say, oh, yeah, dirty. But I mean, you did win a national championship.
I think I have Southern bias because anybody that's like a Northeastern, like slick,
he
hair
looks
back,
good in a suit.
Big suit.
He's wearing Armani.
He didn't even look surprised when they hit the buzzer beater to win the title.
Nah, he knew he'd pay for that shot. it's a 4.
He knew it was going in. He knew it was going in.
I'll say 2.5. I want to lean towards not, but that I got to give it a half.
I'm going 3.
Threes, we're really not sure, right?
Yeah, going 3, not sure.
Oh, okay, 3. 3 then. 3. He's fine.
Yeah. Number 3, Xavier. Or Xavier, I guess I should say.
Chris Mack, is he the coach there, or is that Cincinnati? I always get them confused who's the coach at where.
That's Cincinnati.
I think they're both bald, and they always get into it with each other.
No one wants to be in Cincinnati. I'm going 4.
4?
4. I've been to Cincinnati.
Xavier's probably always been a little bit on the cheat side, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They're always good at basketball.
But not like so good that they draw attention to themselves.
Mm, they cheat
just
right
good
away.
Enough to be good and make some money.
They don't really
money.
Have to play anybody, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. The schedule's pretty good. I'll say Xavier probably cheating. Probably, I'm going to give him a 4.
Chris Mack is the coach there. Where did he come from?
He's been there so long, I don't know where he was at beforehand.
Number 4, Purdue.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm going to go with the
2. I think they just got 2 tall white dudes.
Well, I don't know. Have you been to Purdue? Like, I mean, it's...
I actually have not. I have not. I've been to Notre Dame. I like the campus. Campus was nice. Never been to Purdue, though.
I don't know.
I feel like in Purdue, you could go get a kid from Chicago. And
true.
Be, you know, like, and not have to go crazy to get him. You know, it's like, hey, you got an opportunity to come here. It's not, you know, it's a little bit more rural.
Number 5, Auburn.
5.5. They're cheating their ass off. And I respect it.
We know they're cheating. That's the thing.
Yeah, like they've already been.
Two guys, they have 2 guys that haven't played this year for cheating. They're still winning.
I will say this. We know Pearl's a good coach without the cheating, because his first year at Tennessee, he got a two seed with players that he did not cheat to get. Like, that was not cheating. Some of the other ones, he probably cheated to get them. But I think he's a good coach, but I think he, like, this year, think about how good they are, and their two best players have not played. Their two best players have sat out the entire season.
It's crazy.
Because of cheating. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say Bruce Pearl and Auburn, definitely a 5 out of 5.
Number 6, Kansas.
5 out of 5.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tradition only gets you so far.
You feel like the is that a place in
basketball?
I also
think Self's not a very good coach.
They've what won the Big 12 10 years running.
Yeah,
like I don't. It's been a decade, and they just continue to win it
and then flame out. Well, except that year they beat Cal.
Based on that logic, Davey, I want to know what you think about number 7.
0.
Duke.
All right, they're cheating. Like, man, like.
Wait, time out. Good for you. Good for you for being willing to say, hell yeah, we're cheating, and it's awesome. Good for you.
Where I'm at is, like, I know they have cheated in the past. It's just, like, right now, I'm trying to just figure out how much Coach K's legacy alone gets him as far as trying to, because it's, man, like, I mean, I'm toying with myself right here on, like.
Like, listen, the money that Duke has at its disposal for anything is astronomical. Astronomical. And you can get, like any booster, any board member, like any parent of any Duke student that you call and say, hey, need a little bit of money, like they have it.
Yeah.
It's Duke. So they are definitely taking money and making sure that, A, their families are taken care of, that, hey, once you graduate from Duke, like, it's weird to me that all the Duke kids come back to get their degree after they leave. Like, I wonder if there's some kind of stipulation, like, you get $1 million if you get your degree. That's your deal. You come to Duke, and you graduate at any point, and you get $1 million, but it sits over here in this account until you graduate, but we're going to give you $100,000 to come to Duke.
I don't even think they would pay them that way. I think they just make sure they're taken care of, i.e., like, hey, if you flame out, you'll get a job at this company for
But I think
that's the way they handle their – they're all former players that coach there.
But there's initial – I think there's initial money there too.
They wouldn't have to even risk that, though. I mean, like, they can – it's like laundering money, essentially. You can come work for my company.
Yeah. I mean, no, but everybody does that.
Yeah, but at Duke, it could be more.
You're saying it's
systematic.
More, yeah, like, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, that Xavion Dobson. Wait, that's not the right name.
Xavion Dobson's the.
That's the kid
thinking
from
Zion
from
Williams.
Zion Williamson, the guy that just
is it Williamson or Williams?
Son
Williamson,
the guy that just committed to Duke. All he talked about was the brotherhood, the brotherhood, the brotherhood. I think Duke just sells that once you're a Duke guy, you'll never. Be
need anything.
That's
like
the thing. Like, that's one of those programs where you don't see many people coming back to talk poorly about them later on about anything that's happened, they flamed out at all. So it's there's something there, which, I mean.
Well, and usually, and I know that this is how they've done it at Alabama, but usually a couple of the kids on that team are walk-ons, right? Typically walk-ons in a situation like that are going to be very, very wealthy families. A lot of times what you can do is kind of manipulate the system, because there's no rules that say one player cannot give another player money. There's no limit to how much. So I know, for example, at Alabama, they would room the star receiver, defensive end, linebacker with a walk-on, and the walk-on every day would just leave a few $100 on the counter. The other player comes in and grabs it, and it's not illegal. But it is, in a way.
Yeah.
So you're guaranteed to have basically an allowance as long as you're with the walk-on. Probably pretty easy to do that on a team with, 13 guys, 3 of them being walk-ons. Just say, hey, yeah, you want something? Let's go out to eat. Let's go buy this. Let's go get some shoes, some clothes, some, I don't know about a car, maybe a car.
I don't think Duke was built on a culture of, hey, let's just get in bed with the shoe companies, cheat our ass off, and build this thing. I agree with that. I think I've studied K's upbringing enough, the whole Bobby Knight, I think he has built that thing one way, and as it's evolved and as he's become such a big figure, he's figured out essentially how to kind of cheat legally, I guess. I don't think you're going to find, oh yeah, Coach K handed this kid a bag of money. Like, but you might find... you might find a big loop.
Not him himself, but like somebody there.
You might find a big loop of kickbacks and relationships and USA Basketball and shoe companies. And
yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
that's the what I would call the smart cheating in college basketball. And that may all come out. All right, one more and then we'll get to the phone lines. Number eight, Cincinnati.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, probably.
I feel like Cincinnati's always
yeah, they cheater, cheat and everything, right? Like, who's their coach now?
Is it's One in Stripes actually sent me a message on Twitter. Mick Cronin is Cincy, and Chris Mack is
yeah,
Xavier.
Mick Cronin. He's been there forever. That guy's.
Do you remember when they got in a
he's
fight?
Crooked
those
as
two
hell.
Teams,
like, oh yeah,
they
hate each other.
They like canceled the second game that year because they were like, yeah, these two teams will punch each other to sleep if we let them play again.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. Andy in the Carolinas wants to share. A radical change, maybe a way that you could, I don't know, attempt to fix this thing. What's up, Andy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Enjoy your show.
What you got for us?
As a longtime educator and sports fan, I think it's time that we change college sports radically. So here, put this out there on the airwaves and see what anybody might think. History of college sports, I guess, would go, it's once upon a time back in the day, guys went to college, they played games for recreation, and somebody had the bright idea, well, if we're at this school, hey, let's play our competitors at the other school and let's start having games. And I'm really curious because I don't know when scholarships started being offered for coming to school and play. But the thing that's wrong with college sports right now, especially the big-time sports, your footballs, your basketballs, your maybe baseballs, is that colleges still say, oh, the reason we have college is to get degrees and so people can get, you know, jobs or go on to further education or get an advanced degree and become a doctor. But big-time college sports, everybody knows that's not the purpose of it anymore. It's just for entertainment. So I think the new wave should be the next evolutionary level of college sports. I think they ought to just pay players what they're worth. College is just paying. No scholarships. Just pay them. Pay them whatever they're worth. And and even the fact that pay them, and even if the kids don't want to go to class, going to class is optional because big-time sports is for entertainment, for alumni, and for fans. And the main reason we have big-time sports now in America is to make money. It's not at all about having a college degree. So just let, you know, just hire players. They're the football and basketball are minor leagues for the professional sports, so just pay them. And I think a couple of questions you could ask some former college athletes about their, especially at the big-time sports, and especially in football when there's so many people on the depth chart at their position. Two questions. Number one, when you're planning your class schedule, do you plan your schedule around your sport, or do you say, I've got classes, so I can't come to practice that day because I got to go to lab? No, nobody does that. They all say, I'm a football player. And the other thing is, how about in those big-time sports, again, like football, where there's a lot of guys on the depth chart, what is it like when you get injured and your injury is going to say put you out, say, for the rest of the season? Are you all of a sudden now a second-class citizen on the team? You're kind of just sort of on the sideline. The coach doesn't talk to you much anymore. And I know a lot of coaches would if they really care about their players. But I talked to some guys that, you know, they were playing and they were playing big time and they got injured and it was like all of a sudden they're just in the training room and they don't really belong anymore because the coach can't use them for is what he needs them for. He's just using them. So I think that should be the radical approach. Forget about scholarships and forget about the NCAA. Think about that. Colleges would no longer have to have an NCAA person for checking all the rules. Just pay all the players, whatever they're worth at every school, and they don't even have to go to class. If they want to go to class and get a degree, they can take the money they're getting paid and pay for their classes. But that should be the next approach. What do you guys think?
Thanks for the call, Andy.
So would they be like employees then, essentially, of the university? Not students, but employees?
I think you just have to have some type of salary cap.
Yeah, you would.
And
but how does that work? Does the conference set it like they do recruiting limits? Because the SEC has a 25 recruiting limit, right? It's 25. Mm-hmm. That's the hard cap number. Other conferences don't have that. You can sign as many as you want as long as you don't go over the 85 limit that the NCAA sets.
Yeah, the Big Ten was the first to go to 25.
Right.
They felt like they were hamstrung when the SEC didn't have it.
Right, exactly. So now, if would there still be under-the-table money? Like, yeah, the schools can pay a $10 million a year salary to their players. You get $10 million a year as a school to pay. Is there then going to be some initial money still? Like, I just don't know where it stops.
Well, then, I mean,
because it's
if you paid the players though, essentially what they're, I guess, you know, what they're worth. If it's big time going in the NFL, like the NFL doesn't have trouble with big time season ticket holders paying a player more money because the player already has a ton of money. So the player has no need to take that risk. Like, there's no Baltimore Ravens, like, luxury suite owner paying Ray Lewis more money than his contract because Ray Lewis already makes enough money. Like, there's – and he'd be kicked out of the league.
Is there such a thing as enough money?
Well, you still have to have some type of penalties where, hey, you can make the penalties insane at that point. You get caught taking an extra dime over your salary that you get from the university, mm-hmm. you're done for life. Like, I don't know. Maybe you have to loop in the NFL
but
in this
but
type
they could
of thing.
Do that right now and stop cheating if they wanted to.
I know, but they don't. Like, there's no motivation to do that for the NCAA. So what's
well? There's probably no motivation for
problem?
These schools to lose $10 million a year in the salary cap. Yeah, I mean, it's the whole, you know, amateurism. Like, that's the whole thing. So I agree. Like, pay them. Say they're not amateurs. Say they're employees. It would be more balanced because, you know, you would only be able to pay a couple of guys the whatever, you know, the max, right? If your limit's $10 million, you're not going to go spend $10 million on the 5-star quarterback. You're going to have to balance it out. So kids, you would spread out the talent in college football, big time. If it was, you know, in the Power Five, for example, if the salary cap was the same across all conferences, which I think it would have to be, and then there would be. You know, loopholes. Like, is that taxed? Okay, well, now Tennessee and Florida all of a sudden have you're at more of an advantage if you go to school at a Tennessee school or a Florida school because income taxes there are next to nothing. I mean, so, like, I don't know, man. Like, it just gets so complicated at that point if you start actually paying people. But I don't know what else you do at that point unless you defer it. Unless it's you will get this money after you leave. Or something like I don't, but I really
and if you cheat you don't get any of it.
Yeah, maybe.
So,
I don't know.
So yeah, take the $100 handshake, but you might be losing the
million,
you know,
dollar
$80,000
yeah,
per year you would have got. And yeah, I don't know if you do salary cap and you scale that, or if you just, I mean, I guess there's a way to say you just get the value of, like, of the school, but you'd have to, I don't know, how do you handle that Duke costs a lot more to go to than, you know,
well, yeah. So
ACC
are they
schools
not,
in the same
are
conference.
Are they just not going to school then? Is the scholarship period?
And you can use it to take classes at night at, you know, University of whatever. I don't know. That's an interesting take, though, to separate. I mean, I've always, like,
$10 million from 80 for 85 scholarship players evenly distributed is 118, give or take, 1,000 per player per year.
I'm just trying to think of how you're going to get around Title
IX. That's a whole nother, like, our baseball players then, like, well, we want to get paid. See, it works in football and in a lot of cases basketball because schools make money on those sports. You don't make money on softball. You don't make money on baseball. You don't make money on track and field. You don't make money on gymnastics. Like, those sports cost money that football and basketball at most other schools make.
I think fund those sports through football and basketball.
Right,
right.
Which is what they already do.
Football and basketball would have the $10 million if they didn't have to pay for all the other sports, for sure.
Exactly. So does football and basketball just say, "Hey, we're breaking free. You guys can run all the other athletics you want." And then how does that work? So the football offices at each individual school just say, "We're not operating." Like,
it's a club sport at that point.
That's another way
that's
to
what
go.
They do in other countries.
No, I know.
They don't have college teams in other countries. They just have teams.
Would they be affiliated? So, like, could the Tennessee college-aged semi-professional team in Knoxville, would they be the Tennessee Volunteers, or would they be, like, the Tennessee blue?
Do you have a naming rights agreement to where you
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could borrow, right? Like, the Alabama Crimson Tide could still be affiliated with the university in some way, use the stadium, but they're not students. They're not a university team. I mean, it's so... The fact that it's gotten this far without it ever having to change is amazing. Because it never should have been this in the first place.
That's why I wonder if it'll even change, even if all
I know.
This stuff does
I agree.
Come out.
There's a chance that everyone just kind of sits back and says,
"Yeah,
this is it. It's broken, but it's just the way it is." And I agree. It's a bunch of old people making a bunch of money who are like, "Why would we change this?" No, But the younger, I don't know, the younger people are starting to realize as more information is readily available, dude, you could be working right now instead of going to college and getting injured. You could be going to school and getting a job instead of going and sitting the bench to play football and not making it to the NFL. I mean, it's just tough, man. It's just it's a messy, messy situation.
Final segment, hour number two, this Friday edition of the program. We were playing Do They Cheat? And we went through the top eight. How many major cheaters did we have in that one? Auburn, Kansas, One in Stripes says, remember, this all started with Adidas guys. Bill Self and Kansas are the biggest Adidas blue bloods out there at the moment. So we definitely got Auburn, Kansas, Cincinnati, and then we think semi-cheaters, Duke, Xavier, Villanova, probably don't cheat or don't cheat too much, Virginia and Purdue. Number nine is Clemson. Do we think the Clemson Tigers cheat?
In basketball, yikes. Maybe. I don't know. Three? I don't know. I don't know about Clemson. That's tough.
They cheat so much in football. I just don't know. I don't know about basketball.
They're ranked 11th right now, I think.
Tennessee beat them in an exhibition game early before the season. They're having a good year.
I don't know. I don't know enough about Clemson's basketball team to say. I'll call it
historically,
a three.
No.
But they probably are cheating.
Boosters
at Clemson are probably so sick of losing at everything that they're just paying out all kinds of money.
I know from personal, you know.
Clemson has cheated in football horribly for years and years and years.
Auburn and Clemson very similar in lots of things and definitely in the cheating. I know when they won that national title in football, the cheating was rampant. But that was also
like in 85 or the most recent one.
No, yeah, the when was it? 80 or 81? I don't know. It was right there. Georgia won it 1 year. Clemson won it the next or the one before. I don't know. But, yeah, back in the 80s, they were cheating like crazy. But everybody was. So, I don't, you know, how much does it matter? Number 10 is Texas Tech. I don't know anything about Texas Tech.
Don't really know or care.
I'll put a three.
Three.
Neutral. Number 11, Michigan State.
Five.
Five.
Yep.
100. They're cheating so bad.
Number 12.
They're horribly cheating.
North Carolina.
Definitely cheating.
Yep. Five. Been proven. Number 13, Tennessee.
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's too risky.
Once you've been busted, you got to kind of go the other way, right?
Yeah, we had to chill for a few years. I tell you what, if we've been cheating, we suck at it. We have been cheating, we are not good. Not good at all. I think if we are cheating, it's like the fair stuff, what everybody's doing.
What if
free meals? You know, like $20 here and there.
What if it comes out that every top 100 recruit Rick Barnes has ever lost out on at Tennessee, that he ever targeted at all, you know, went somewhere else because they were cheating and he didn't? Is that, Barnes bashers?
If that came out, it would be good. But if that's happening and this doesn't all come out, then it's bad. Like, if we're losing because we're not cheating, then we need to cheat. Unless the cheaters get caught, then we're going to be really glad that we weren't cheating.
It's true. It's a double-edged sword.
It's really tough. You want to cheat until people start getting caught. Then you're going to be glad you didn't. Because, frankly, if everyone got caught cheating right now, Tennessee would ascend to the top of college basketball.
One seed.
We would be right there at the top. Well, if they're with Cincinnati, we'd kick the hell out of Cincinnati. Xavier. I'm not worried about these teams. I'd worry about us playing Kansas or Villanova. But if they're cheating, man, everybody wants to come to Tennessee. We're getting new locker rooms.
Number 14, Ohio State. 4.
12. I hate Ohio State. They're cheating. Is Thad Matta still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hate that guy.
I since they've been in trouble with a lot of stuff over the past several years, I think they've slowed down some.
Well, I think Urban cheats so much now that basketball had to rein it back. I think you can get away cheating really, really heavy in one sport, but not two. I think that now Urban's got them going. You notice that ever since Urban's got to Ohio State, Ohio State basketball has been on the decline because they can't cheat as much. Too much sniffing around on Thad Matta's program. Plus all that Aaron Kraft nonsense. Thad Matta can go to hell. You know Thad Matta's the guy who turned Tennessee in Aaron Kraft.
Yeah. Okay, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Making sure people know that. Thad Matta got Bruce Pearl fired. It's him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because he was cheating too. He just got that picture off of Facebook or whatever. Sad.
Number 15, Arizona.
Yeah, probably cheating.
I feel like they always Miller's cheating. Lou
put
Olson.
Him at a four.
Yeah.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
What's it? It's Archie now, right? Archie Miller?
No. Yes, and Sean Miller's at Indiana.
Correct.
Yeah. Confusing.
Very.
Number 16, Oklahoma. They've cheated a whole lot before. I don't know if they are right.
They're
the
not
second.
Very good. They might have cheated to get Trey Young. Sampson was cheating his ass off down there, but I think they
Capel is cheating.
I think they've kind of had to rein it in because they got busted. I think they've been on the not cheat train for a while, and I think Trey Young, they either cheated to get him or no one else wanted him because they realized he's a handful.
This is another problem with Duke too. Like multiple Duke assistants have been busted for cheating at other schools, so you got to think.
Yeah, where'd they learn that from?
I don't know, something to that.
Well, Capel's not at Oklahoma anymore. He's back at Duke.
Yeah, I know. He cheated when he was at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He got busted for that. And Quinn Snyder cheated his ass off at Missouri.
So then
he's in the NBA, so.
Right. But the point that he's making still stands. Your deflections aren't doing any good for Duke. Basically, people learn to cheat at Duke, but they're not as good at it.
Oh, look at that. Time to get a break.